Here we are in the month of July, and I thought it would be good for us today to consider a truth about God that is not widely known. The subject is the contentment of God. Basic passage is Isaiah chapter 45, 5 through 7. Would you please turn in your Bibles to that passage, Isaiah 45, 5 through 7. Now let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of the words of this song, which are taken from Scripture, saved by grace. Thank you. Over and over, we thank you for this wonderful truth. We are saved, and we are saved by grace. Thank you that as we consider your contentment today, that is a part of it. We are saved by grace. We ask that you would be pleased to take the Scripture today and implant it within our hearts and cause us to believe and to live this truth. We pray in Jesus' name, for his sake, for his glory. Let it be. Amen. As we think of the contentment of God, we first of all, our attention is given to the word contentment. What does it mean? And actually, what is it? Another word we could use for contentment is satisfaction. God is content because he is satisfied. God is satisfied. God is fulfilled. It means that within him, nothing is lacking. Sad to say that contentment is not very much a part of our experience these days. Sometimes I ask people, do you know anyone who is really content? And after they think for a moment, they say, no, I don't know anyone who is actually really content. So I think it's good for us to understand that God is content. And out of the truth of his contentment, then the measure of our degree of contentment does increase. Now let me read from this passage, Isaiah 45, 5 through 7. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil or calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, this is just one basic passage with regard to God and who he is and his contentment. And I maintain this, that until a person reads and studies Isaiah chapter 40 through 55, it's impossible to really know God and who he is. So I encourage you to take the time during the rest of this year to look at Isaiah chapter 40, chapters 40 through 55, and take a good, long, hard look at those passages in order to know and understand God and who He is. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity or evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, out of these basic passages of Scripture, we want to discuss the fact that God is content. Now, the first point is this. God is content with Himself. He should be, because He is perfect, and within Him there is no mar, no flaw, no blemish. It is not vain for God to be content with Himself, because He is perfection. He is absolute purity. Now I want to list several aspects of God's contentment. This is the first point. God is content within Himself, and under that, He is content with His holiness. God is holy. That makes Him different than us. We are not holy except by position that God has made us holy. But God is content with His holiness, with His own purity, with His own perfection. And that is right. That is as it should be. God is content with His holiness. Secondly, God is content with His love. Now, why is that? Why should God be content with His love? Because out of His love, He gave His best. He gave the most that He could give. Heaven's most precious possession, God gave out of love. The Lord Jesus Christ is the expression of His love and His generosity, and God is content with giving His best. Thirdly, God is content with His justice. He is content with judging the unbelieving people. They deserve His judgment, and He is right to do so, and that there is a place of punishment where the wrath of God is expressed for all eternity against those who rebel, against those who disobey, against those who are against Him. And God's judgment will prevail. He is satisfied with His justice. Now, a part of His justice is His salvation for those whom He chooses to save. That He is able to do that, and that justice prevails as He gives salvation on the basis of the cross. In the fourth place, God is satisfied with His grace. God is content that He is gracious. He is not obligated at all to be gracious, but He is gracious. Therefore, He has those who receive His grace. The recipients of His grace are the chosen people. God is content about that. In the fifth place, God is content with His sovereignty. God is the absolute ruler and controller, the one who is in charge of everything and everyone. God has no rivals. Well, you may say, what about Satan? Satan is only a tool used by God for his own purposes. There is no question that God will prevail, but he is now using Satan for the purpose of sin fulfilling its goal. Sin must run its course, and God is bringing that about through Satan. And we can say this morning, God is not worried. He has no rivals for his power or his ultimate victory. In the sixth place, God is content or satisfied with his wisdom. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for us if we could ever be satisfied with our wisdom? God is perfectly content with his wisdom. It's so far beyond human comprehension. The fact that he can plan and have purposes that are perfect according to his perfect purposes. In the seventh place, God is content and satisfied with his predetermination. To make plans and purposes is one thing. To be able to fulfill those plans and purposes is another. God predetermines what he will do by his wisdom, but by his power and his ability, he carries it out. God is content with his predestinating purposes. So, it is right for us to know and think of this. God is content with himself. God is satisfied with himself. And he should be. We praise him, we thank him, we worship him because he is content with himself. Now let's move to the second point, which is this. God is content with the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is content and satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ, which provides the basis of forgiveness. The debt to his justice is paid. There is freedom to forgive. And this sacrifice of Christ provides the basis for his acceptance of us. How can a holy God have anything to do with a guilty sinner? Only because of the sacrifice of Christ, there is a meeting place with God. And we come into his acceptance through the cross. The sacrifice of Christ also provides a basis for him to adopt. God adopts us. Because of the sacrifice of Christ making that possible. God is content with the sacrifice of Christ, or there would be no resurrection. There would be no living Christ, no living Savior, if God was not perfectly satisfied, perfectly content with the atonement of Christ. Thirdly, God is content with his family, with the people who are brought into his family by adoption, who become the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is content with his family because upon them there is now no condemnation. God does not condemn his people. Those whom Christ has died for and through and who the Holy Spirit has regenerated, there is no condemnation. Furthermore, with God's family, there is no longer any wrath. God will never express his wrath upon his elect people brought into the family of Christ. God is content and satisfied with his family because of the eternal relationship. Forever and ever, we will be sons of God. Not outside, but in the family. Adopted into his family. With all the eternal privileges of the sons of God. During graduation ceremonies, the announcement will be made by the authority of the state or the government. This decree is conferred upon this person with all the rights and privileges. Eternally, we live with all the rights and privileges of the sons of God. God is content about that. A question for us today is with regard to our contentment. Does it bring contentment to you to know that God is content with himself? That just does wonders for me, fills me with awe and reverence and worship. Causes me to bow before him and acknowledge his glorious perfection. I can say this. I am content with God. A second question is, are we content with the atonement of Christ? Is the atonement of Christ a satisfaction for the removal of our sin, for the removal of the wrath of God? And do we really believe that? And do we really rest in that? Or are we still trying avenues of forgiveness? Do we still doubt God's forgiveness and acceptance? And are we still trying to work for it, earn it, pay for it ourselves? I can say this to you. I am perfectly content that the sacrifice of Christ brings forgiveness of my sin, and that the wrath is removed. A third question is this. God is content with his family. Are you? Are you content with being a child of God, a son of God? Or are you looking for something else? Are you looking for something in this world to bring contentment or satisfaction? Or do you enter into God's contentment about you by being a son of God in the family of God. And this also affects the way we treat each other within the family. If God is content with his family, why shouldn't we be and treat them so and love them so and accept them as God accepts them and love them as God loves them? I think this is a marvelous subject for us to consider, the contentment of God, being content with himself, with the atonement of Christ, and contentment with his family. May God, by his Holy Spirit today, give us the gift of contentment, because it can only come from him. It is not something we can manufacture, so we pray for it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask today that the Holy Spirit will now visit us with the gift of contentment based on the truth of your word, and cause us to enjoy the peace and the satisfaction that comes out of your contentment. Grant it to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.